You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome to Finishing Well, brought to you by CardinalGuide.com with certified financial planner Hans Scheil, best-selling author and financial planner helping families finish well for over 40 years. On Finishing Well, we'll examine both biblical and practical knowledge to assist families in finishing well, including discussions on managing Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes. Now, let's get started with Finishing Well.
How fun today on Finishing Well. We have a very, very intriguing topic. I'm intrigued, so I'm hoping you will be too. The idea is, why did God choose tax collectors? Had you ever really considered that much? I mean, yeah, we understand the idea, I think, when it came to Matthew, that he who's been forgiven much, right, loves much. But there's something there, but something that I have been talking with Hans Scheil, our certified financial planner, and actually this was a question he brought up.
Well, it's actually the first time as we're preparing the show that I actually moved you from one verse of the Bible completely away to a different place in the Bible, and then we've gone live with it.
Yeah, it's actually very enlightening and really it just connects a lot of dots for me, both in the Bible and also with what your subject matter is today, which is taxes. But of all things. But this other idea that one thing you could say about a tax collector is they would have to be shrewd.
Absolutely.
I mean, this guy's job in life is to try to sell you on the idea of paying taxes. And you ain't going to do that.
And then collect them from you. Even if he doesn't sell you, collect them from you.
And see, maybe it even helps me. Maybe it even helps me understand why God chose a car dealer. that clearly, you know, if you're going to sell people on the idea that you're trustworthy and you're a car dealer, you know, it's going to take some shrewdness. But more than that, it's going to take some values. And what you talked about just a minute ago, Hans, was that, you know, it's one thing to develop shrewdness, but it's another thing to develop value.
Well, the two have to go hand in hand, especially in my business. And what you're looking for, and, you know, I bring on and have brought on thousands of people into the business and have a cadre of people over the years that are just very successful and very good planners. And my current group that I've really been developing over the last 10 years, I mean, you need somebody who is extremely shrewd to be successful in our business. You want somebody who's shrewd to be advising you and handling your money. But at the same time, you don't want somebody who's shrewd who has got some honesty difficulties, okay? Yeah. And so what I was telling you earlier, I'd much rather start with the honesty and teach shrewdness than I ever would start with the shrewd and try to teach honesty, okay? And I'm very blessed with the crowd that I have now that we're working with and teaching. But if it gets back to our topic, is why did God choose the tax collectors? I mean, why did Jesus?
Yeah, so you got Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, which meant he was actually the car dealer. He wasn't just a salesman. Yeah. and then you, of course, have Matthew. But then, you know, I was thinking about this after you brought it up, like, oh, yeah, Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. And a lot of people say it's the book that was written for the Jewish people themselves. And so here's a guy that really dealt down in the dirt most of his life with raw human nature.
Well, I think you answered it for yourself. Is he understands human behavior, human tendencies, what people want, what people do,
and how to sell the good news in sincerity to, you know, of what Jesus really did bring from a standpoint of the law.
Because he understands the Romans, he understands the Pharisees, he's got the whole.
Right, he's sliding between all the different, you know, powers to be at the time, But along those lines, we actually have something that's really pretty profound we can talk about today from a standpoint of your shrewdness, of what you've observed now in the tax laws that we could take advantage of to leverage for the kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, through email, I gave Robbie a little lesson in tax rate or marginal tax rate history. And just in getting ready for this show, it just, most folks are not aware, I don't know if you, the listener, are, of exactly what your tax rates are. But I went back several years, and I just picked 40 years ago, 20 years ago, what are they now, and what are they going to be in the future? And I took a single person making 50 grand a year, and I said, what's their marginal tax rate? And what are they paying on their last dollars? How much of that are they giving to the federal government in taxes? And in 1980, a person making $50,000 a year, their marginal tax bracket was, looking here, 55%. So they paid 55 cents on the dollar. And a married person, married couple, married filing jointly, so if we went to $100,000 a year for a couple, their marginal bracket was 59%. So it was 4% more that they were paying on their last dollars that they earn. Some folks used to call that the marriage tax. And if you come all the way into the present in 2020, looking at the tax rates, this person making, now this ignores inflation. I'm just trying to show you just a simplified version of what a low marginal percentage that you're paying. It's 22% for that $50,000 a year single person. And for the married filing jointly, it's also as well 22%.
Yeah, it's almost mind-blowing to me that all those years ago, and it really gives us a historical significance of Ronald Reagan and what he did to change America, but no doubt now based on this information, like, oh my goodness, look how low the tax rate is compared to what I've done for most of my life. And what does that mean now from a shrewd
Well, it does. And let's go one more place. And some of that is Donald Trump and the current, when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act took this down pretty substantially or raised the brackets. And in that law, again, I don't know how much that the tax brackets that we have now sunset at the end of 2025. So if they don't change the law, which it's pretty hard to change the law, I mean, you're going to need a big movement. In 2026, this person that's paying 22% now is going to pay 28%. I mean, it's going up 6% or 30% or however you want to talk about it. That's a lot to go from 22 to 28 minus the number of deductions. So the tax rates that were just done in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act are scheduled to go away at the end of 2025. So what that has created is a window of about 5 years where we're paying the lowest marginal tax rates really in history.
You know, we can leverage these low tax rates to invest money in the things that will become tax-free while the getting's good.
Well, how many of you ever heard this before? Is that while you're working, put as much money in your 401k or into an IRA as you can because you're paying high taxes while you're working. And then when, you know, you defer taxes, and then when you're retired, you can pull it out and you're going to be in a much lower tax bracket.
When we look at actual people that have applied this, you know, you to kind of put meat on these bones a little bit.
Well, yeah. And, you know, in my own situation, I've converted most of my savings that I have either over to the Roth IRA or into cash value life insurance. So why have I done that? I mean, I have a plan that when I'm older than 70, I'm going to wait till then to take my Social Security, that I'm going to pay zero taxes or perhaps I'll be earning some sort of a royalty off of this business if I retire then. So maybe I'll pay taxes on that. But my plan is to be able to have a tax-free income and to avoid taxes on my Social Security. Because your Social Security is taxed at a rate driven by your other taxable income. So if you have zero taxable income, you pay zero taxes on your Social Security.
Now, you know, for those of us who aren't, again, as fast as you are, to get into some of the shrewdness of what you just described, that I would not have been able to tell anybody this if I hadn't been by your side for these many months, but or actually over a year. But let's say that Hans didn't convert and had traditional money in an IRA, right?
Right.
And so he was going to, and now he's turned 70 and a half, or
70,
and he's getting his Social Security, and here comes this income here. But in order to continue to live at the lifestyle that he lives, he goes, okay, well, I need to take out $40,000 in my IRA this year to help make my other payments and this. But since that money's coming out of the IRA, now it's never been taxed.
And so I'm going to have to take 60 or 70 to net 40.
Right.
Just to pay the taxes.
Right.
And now I've got other income of 60 or 70 that's going to drive my taxes up, where I'm going to pay 30, 40% taxes on my Social Security.
Right. And there you see the strategy of why leveraging these lower tax rates, because you are, in fact, paying more taxes now in order to convert money
into
Roth.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. That's the bad news here. And that's where I'm back like Matthew the tax collector, is I'm proposing to you that you're going to pay your taxes. I'm selling you on the idea of paying your taxes now at 22% rates, because this isn't going to be around forever.
Right. Thinking about it from the way most of us think, that at 22%, in other words, I'm getting to keep 78 cents of my dollar that's sitting in that account, right?
Yeah.
And I wait for 5 years, I'm obviously only going to get to keep, 79 cents.
Well, and look, I didn't do this all in 1 year. I mean, I didn't eat the whole elephant in one sitting. Okay.
Whoa, I didn't look at the time. We have whipped through this first segment, so you're going to have to hear more about this and why God did choose tax collectors when we come back.
Hans and I would love to take our show on the road to your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Here's a chance for you to advance the kingdom through financial resources by leveraging Hans' expertise in qualified charitable contributions, veterans, aid and attendance, IRAs, Social Security, Medicare, and long-term care. Just go to cardinalguide.com and contact Hans to schedule a live recording of Finishing Well at your church, Sunday school, Christian, or civic group. Contact Hans at cardinalguide.com. That's cardinalguide.com.
Welcome back to Finishing Well with Certified Financial Planner and Matthew the Tax Collector, Hans Scheil. Today's show is, why did God choose tax collectors? And when we left our hero Hans, he was on a roll talking about strategies and essentially shrewdness when it comes to taxes. But we should tell you, that this is all available in Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, which is available at the website cardinalguide.com, where you can just email Hans and ask him to send you the book, or you can get the PDF for absolute free, F-R-E-E.
You can even listen to this radio show, the broadcast, every week right from cardinalguide.com. You just go to the Finishing Well tab.
Just tell Siri and your phone, I want to listen to the Finishing Well podcast. It's all there. And you can find out more about how, or why God chose tax collectors.
So where we were is that we were talking about a married couple in 2020 that files a joint return, and their income was $100,000 a year. They pay a federal marginal tax rate of 22%. And that's the lowest in history. We've gone back to 1980 and seen where it was like 59%. And we also looked ahead to 2026, and we saw where this number is going to be 28% unless they change the law. I mean, this is the sunset provision. And so I just wanted to look further into that bracket. Is this married couple could make up to $171,000 of joint income, and they still would be at the 22% tax bracket. And if they slipped over that, they only go to 24. So it's just 2 more percent. Now we're at a 24% bracket, and the top end of that is $326,000. So you start looking at that, and you say, well, if we're below a threshold, every year that goes by that I don't do some of this Roth conversion, moving my traditional money in an IRA, paying the taxes on part of it, and then moving it over to the Roth, I've just left a window of opportunity. I've just left some money on the table,
yeah,
which is not very shrewd. So what I've done is I've done this conversion over a number of years, and I still have some years to go, where I'm converting all of my IRA money from the traditional IRA to the Roth, and I'm doing that while I'm paying the taxes at these low rates. You got to pay state income tax too, but that money has now moved from tax deferred, meaning going to pay it later, to tax free, which is never going to pay it because it's been paid on both the earnings. And by the way, Roth IRAs do not have minimum distributions either, so you can just leave it there until you need it.
Yeah, so those who are listening who never heard our show on Roth IRAs or talked about that particular subject, traditional IRAs, you put money in, you've never paid income tax on it, but Roth IRAs allows you to have an retirement, right, investment account where you've actually paid the taxes so that when you're getting distributions from that, they are, in fact, tax-free.
They're tax-free. So they don't even show up on your tax return. And furthermore, you can collect your Social Security check and not pay any tax on that unless you got some other income source.
So speaking of shrewdness, right, you passed this along to some of our radio listeners, right? There was a gentleman.
Oh, who, yeah. He picked up the podcast. And he was really interested in long-term care insurance, but he also realized that I was a financial planner and CFP and knew what all that was. And so, as I do with a lot of people when we're having our first couple conversations, I'm just going to give them advice on just about anything I can. And I said, you know, this Roth IRA is really something that you need to look into. And he was complaining about the fact that he was over the income limits for Roth IRA contributions. He says, I can't have one. And I said, well, okay, so you're telling me you can't have one. and I'm going to tell you that maybe you can, okay? And I said, the first place we want to look is we want to look at your existing 401k plans, because they're both professionals. She works for a big company. He works for a small consulting firm. They're software and computer people. And he said, oh, there's no way ours has one because it's just a small, you know, a Roth. I said, well, I'd check anyhow. And then I'm saying that she probably does. He had never heard of it. Well, he went in and checked. And so between phone calls, between the first time we talked and the second time we talked, he had already changed all his contributions. So the new money going in from the traditional to the Roth. Now, most 401ks will not let you do the conversion inside the 401k. I mean, there's some reasons for that. But he's got it. These people are just in their 50s, so all their new money is going into Roth, and they're not getting a tax deduction for that now. So it's dented their paycheck a little bit. But he can see the value of 15 years from now having all of this in the Roth version. Okay. The second thing, when I just said that a lot of 401ks will not allow you to do a conversion from traditional to Roth, you can roll that 401k into an IRA. I can help you do this. And then once it's in an IRA, then you can do a conversion. So we're looking into doing some of that for him now, where they're going to do an in-plan rollover to an IRA, and then we'll do a conversion from that. But there's another alternative. The other tax-free thing that we have, and he's already bought some of this, is cash value life insurance. And so where we take a life insurance policy and we effectively overfund it. And so that can create a source of tax-free income for you later in retirement and tax-free benefits at death.
And talk about shrewd, right? The younger you make those choices, it kind of like ka-chings, right?
Sure. So the point I want to make in the show, without getting too much into detail, is we are enjoying right now, if you can imagine enjoying paying taxes. This is Matthew the tax collector selling you now. We're enjoying the lowest marginal tax rates in the 20s in history. And for those of you that are just leaving money stockpiling an IRA and it's going to sit there until you die and then pass on to your beneficiaries, they're going to be hit with some whopping tax rates. So this whole Roth conversion thing or purchasing life insurance or a combination of the two and getting cash over to there.
But let's talk about that a little bit, because when you say cash value life insurance, so it doesn't necessarily mean, and we've talked at great length in our last show about best beneficiaries, but here we're using life insurance as a way to have tax-free income during retirement.
Sure. We do that by overfunding.
So can you go into a little detail? Because, you know, I'm not that smart. I'm not as shrewd.
Yeah. It's a whole lot easier to understand when you've got a person tied to this that you know, is a certain age and a certain health and then has a certain amount of money that they want to shelter. I mean, one thing I'm going to tell you about life insurance, it's a long-term proposition. So we're going to talk about putting a good amount of money in there for several years. Generally about 7 to 10 years is when we're going to accelerate the premiums into those years. And what we're going to do is we're going to pick a given amount of life insurance. And what we're going to do is we're going to overfund it. So we're going to put the maximum amount of premium in there that the IRS will allow us to. And we have a computer program to figure this. Or we can do another way. We can start with an amount of money that you're wanting to shelter, an amount for over 7 years, and we can say how much life insurance do we have to buy at a minimum to justify this whole thing as a life insurance policy, and it just creates this tax-free savings account.
Right.
And it's not so a lot more complicated than that.
Well, but now I'm 70 or I'm 71 or whatever, and I'm getting my Social Security, and I need a little extra money in order to pay my bills. Now I can go back to this life insurance policy, and how do I get money out of that thing?
Through a loan. And these are generally not favorable until starting the 11th year. So in other words, they got one rate that they charge you on the loan during the first 10 years. So you, right off the bat, you don't want to get any money out of this thing for 10 years. So the first 10 years, you want to pay in.
Right.
But after the 10th year, most of these modern policies have a zero-cost loan. So you're basically borrowing the money for nothing. Okay, it has no interest. It's a little more complicated than that, but your net cost is zero. And you just take it out and you borrow it. And you borrow at such a rate, we can even create a monthly income out of there that is set up that you never want to bankrupt the policy. So you never want to pull it all out, because if you do that, you well could create some taxes. So it's a strategic thing. It's a very shrewd thing.
Right, right. And again, I know that's more complicated than a lot of people may want to fully digest, but the idea that I just want to say is that, oh my goodness, look, here's another way, because some people don't have 401ks or IRAs, and I happen to be one of those, that have money sitting around in other areas. Well, here, you know.
It's just a way you can move it into life insurance, and if it's structured properly, I'm not blindly saying just go out and do this, but if it's structured properly, somebody knows what they're doing, and you can afford it, and you know you're going to have the money for several years, it can be a very shrewd investment. I mean, the whole idea is to have, you know, low taxes or no taxes in retirement. And with this life insurance, you know, a lot of people end up doing all this, and then they never touch the money. And then it just sits there and compounds tax-free, and then they don't pull anything out, and then they die, and then a much larger amount goes to their beneficiary. So it's just, you know, and the same is true with Roth IRAs. I'm sure a lot of these Roths that I'm setting up, that people are paying the taxes now, they're never going to pull any money out of them, because that's just not what people in their 70s and 80s do. They save, and it just sits there, but it's not creating a tax problem for the next generation.
Right. And in either case, see, that life insurance would pay out ka-ching tax-free, as would the IRA, the Roth IRA.
Roth IRA, sure.
For the, you know, it's the same thing as cash-free.
We do this all day long for people. And you know, I'm just seeing a growing part of the business, especially as a lot of my clients are into minimum distributions. They never really have sat down with their IRAs, and they haven't really faced paying taxes. They usually come to me to try to avoid the taxes. And what they end up with, at least in the current era, is they end up paying more taxes right now with the idea that they're going to pay less over the time.
There you go. Well, as you can hear, there's a lot of tax. There's a lot of Matthew in Hans over here. So, you know, don't forget Cardinal Guide. You got to put the guide after cardinal.com, where you can get Hans's book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement. All this information, listen to more podcasts, all that stuff. We would love to have you comment on our show, or however we can help you. You know, just visit Hans at cardinalguide.com. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed Finishing Well, brought to you by cardinalguide.com. Visit cardinalguide.com for free downloads of this show or previous shows on topics such as Social Security, Medicare, IRAs, long-term care, life insurance, investments, and taxes, as well as Hans' best-selling book, The Complete Cardinal Guide to Planning for and Living in Retirement, and The Workbook. Once again, for dozens of free resources, past shows, or to get Hans' book, go to cardinalguide.com. If you have a question, comment, or suggestion for future shows, click on the Finishing Well radio show on the website and send us a word. Once again, that's cardinalguide.com. Cardinalguide.com.